Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KO after a week off. We're excited to be back. We missed each other. We missed you guys listening. It'd be sweet if we could go live and try and like interact with some people soon, you know? But for the time being, it is just on the Dangerous World podcast and on the Profit Picks YouTube channel. And like I said, we missed you guys. We're gonna be breaking down this UFC Vegas 97. And then we're going to probably talk about some other events at the end, maybe some other picks later. There's BKFC this weekend, Bellator. I think there's PFL. What else is there, Jared?
Bellator, PFL. We got one championship on Friday. No, Alex was looking into the BKFC card.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity in BKFC betting. Like if people were to just do a little bit of research, there's not as much tape to do. It's very easy. You know, people can make money there on BKFC should they do their research. But I got to ask you guys a question. Did you see that thing that was on Instagram about John Jones posting the 15 championship title defenses? And then in real black letters, if you brighten your screen and zoom in, you can see I'm ducking Tom Aspinall.
I saw that. It was fucking awesome.
Someone fucked him. Alex, did you see that?
I missed that, so y'all are going to have to send me that one.
You know, every MMA page posts the exact same thing every time something happens.
Yeah, dude, it's all over Instagram, so check that out. It's kind of funny. I don't know if it was a PR stunt to get people talking, because John Jones is John Jones' biggest fan, other than maybe Dana White. And you know what, dude? I noticed something about my favorite fighter, Dustin Poirier. No one's a bigger fan of Dustin Poirier than Dustin Poirier, dude. That dude loves himself. Like, he posts pictures of himself, like old pictures of himself, and like just reposts the same picture. I love the dude. He's my favorite fighter by a mile. But yeah, I mean, I guess he probably feels like he deserves that credit, and he definitely does. But it's funny, man. I kind of cringe every once in a while when people just like repeatedly post the same shit. And he's posting that like iconic picture of him like spitting out the blood in his last fight. It's a dope picture. I'd probably do the same exact fucking thing if I was a pro fighter, honestly. But
did you see him just turn down the Covington fight?
Oh, he turned it down. Yeah, he probably wants a good fight. He would beat the fuck out of Colby, I think.
What I saw him quoted saying was that he's not going to let Colby make a dollar off his name. So he hates him that much, he won't fight him.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's boys with Jorge Masvidal, right? They both fight out of American Top Team, and the whole situation with them. And yeah, I mean, Colby, I used to like Colby, man. I don't like him anymore. Like, you can talk all that shit if you're a good fighter, and especially if you're entertaining. But then you see these guys like Peyton Talbot And I mean, Sean O'Malley talks a lot of shit, but like Peyton Talbot, fucking Carlos Prates, like these guys that are entertaining and badass, and they're humble as fuck. You know, like they're not out there talking that shit, and they don't need a gimmick because their style's so entertaining. So kind of lost a lot of respect for Colby after that fucking Leon fight because he stunk up the whole arena and talk shit about another man's dead father. That's pretty fucked up. So, yeah. Anyway, anything else that we have to get into, you know, covering the off week or anything like that before we get into this really fucking good free card, honestly. It's a solid card.
We got a lot for you. We got so much this week. This is the week we're going to make money. All right. We got 4 MMA events. This doesn't come as often as we want. Get your sniper scopes out. We are going to hit them hard this week.
I'm excited, dude. I'm excited for the weekend, man. I'm getting paid so I can go through all that money again. And it's going to be a good time. But yeah, last month was one of my best months. Really enjoyed with this contender series. I'm hot on the contender series. Kind of broke that streak yesterday a little bit. Ended down a little bit, but yeah, man, we had some solid picks last week on the contender series. Alex, you smashed the who the fuck was it? Wellmaker knockout. You threw $500 on that. You made $1,000 profit off that one pick. I made about $400 picking a couple of different things. I picked that round 2 knockout by the Brazilian off of Jared's recommendation, and yeah, that fucking slammed too. So yeah, contender series has been good to this show. And hopefully it continues, man. We got, what, 6 more weeks of it. So we'll see what happens.
We're going to have to start giving out some plays for the boys, all right? We're going to have to do an extra pod, start giving out some heat.
I mean, I'm down to record on Mondays. I know it's tough sometimes for you guys, or Sundays even. I know that's tough for the family man, Jared, over there, because, you know, Sunday's kind of a family day typically. So I'm down to do Sundays or Mondays so that we can kind of loop in some contender and maybe throw in some other picks from other promotions. But, that we'll play that by ear there. You were about to chime in with something, Jared. What did you want to mention? Taporia?
No, you just said anything else to cover. I just said I got nothing else. Trying to keep the heater alive.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, you've been on a real nice run. Alex, it looks like you're turning the corner off that little cold streak you were going through. You made some fucking great picks this last week and last week. So let's fucking keep going. Let's keep going. He's got the rock eyes on. If you're listening, is wearing an obnoxious hat and some weird glasses, but it's for the views on the YouTube channel. So just bear with us here.
People with autism wear sunglasses inside a lot.
That's true. And they collect Ninja Turtles. I'm fucking
told as well. Throw on the shades, Ryan.
I know. I don't have any with me, I don't think. Yeah, they're in the living room. But I've got some pretty obnoxious what is it? Madman or Macho Man, Randy Savage glasses, dude. They're fucking badass. I rock those whenever I get the chance. But yeah, let's roll right into this card, man. It's a good card. 13 fights. I miss these days where there was 15 fights on UFC cards. Now we usually get 10. Next week at the Sphere, we're getting 10. Supposedly the biggest fucking card of all time, and we get 10 fights. I kind of wish there was more there, but I'm going to share my screen. And we are going to roll in. I do have this pulled up. You guys see Tapology?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. I'll start it off as usual because, you know, it's kind of the way that we go. Hey, Alex, you remember when you got pissed off at some fighter, I forget who it was, for sharing your meme without crediting you?
It's Phil Rowe.
Phil Rowe. Do you remember that, Alex?
I mean, I can't forget it.
So that's how I felt when you said that I was a guest on this fucking show that I created. Okay? So don't ever fucking do that again. I'm not a guest. I am the host. Okay?
So special guest.
Just so that's clear. Yeah. Special guests. And it was like me, Jared, the other co-host here, and then fucking Henry.
Harry. Like, yeah. He wasn't even fucking
Henry.
Oh, Harry. My bad. Yeah, Harry. I like Harry a lot. But yeah, he you know, kind of felt like I was just, I opened my mouth and Alex took a big shit in it. So, you know, just so that's clear for everyone. You know, this is, I call it our show, but in reality, it's kind of my show. But you guys are absolutely a part of the show. And I would not have that any other way. I wish Nick would come back too. We can make it a foursome, but still a great show.
I miss Nick.
Nick's great, dude. It's nice having that Australian accent with 3 boring white dudes on here. Then you get a nice Australian zest in there. It's lovely. But
well, either way, Ryan, we're glad you're here, man. Thanks for being a special guest.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I'm just honored to be
always
here.
Welcome. Always welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a revolving door for me on this show. But the first fight of the night, Zygmantas Romaska versus Nathan Fletcher. This is an interesting little matchup. Both these guys are from the, used to be good, Ultimate Fighter show. That show has gone to shit. I've heard nothing but bad reviews about the people that watched it. It was a bunch of like people that barely spoke English, including the coaches. The whole allure of the show was a bunch of fucking like, you know, street kids getting into a house, drinking and fighting each other in the backyard, basically, was the cool part about that show. And now it's all professionals. They wake up and train. They live a clean lifestyle. There's nothing entertaining about that. You want to watch the fights and that's it. So these guys come off that show. Nathan Fletcher, I think his one fight, he broke his fibula, which is that small bone in your bottom of your leg. And then Romaska, I think, got injured as well. I'm not 100% sure, but his fight was a scrap on The Ultimate Fighter. Super entertaining. I'm going to just keep this breakdown short, man. I think that this is a clash of styles. Obviously, Fletcher's the more grappling heavy dude. But I think that Romaska is going to get a little overzealous and throw something too big, and Fletcher's going to catch him and just get on top of him. I don't know if he's going to finish Romaska, but I definitely think Fletcher wins this, probably by points. And I think he's going to make this kind of boring. They don't need like style points here, right? This isn't the Contender Series. This is like these guys are basically already in the show, on the roster, I would imagine. So, yeah, give me Fletcher by points in a relatively boring fight. What do you guys got? I'll start with you, Alex.
I'll make it short and sweet as well. Obviously, we know this fight is rebooked because they both had a staph infection last week. And I like the no distance here. I'm really not confident on a side. I am going to go with Ziggy. I'm going to go by second round knockout. I think both of these guys are going to get tired. You know, they're coming off of some antibiotics, and that's going to stunt your stamina pretty bad. So I'm going to go with the under. I think someone's going to die in this fight. And I'll stick with Ziggy, not super confident, but I will have a little bit of action on the under here.
I like that under look for sure. That's smart. I even though I'm taking decision. Jared, where you at?
Yeah, it's not a fight I looked into a ton. Definitely a clash of styles here. I think Fletcher's fairly well-rounded, but, I mean, you see the guy strike, and it's like, he doesn't want to be on his feet. You can tell he's just trying to set up takedowns. I mean, you got a pure striker against what I think is a pure grappler. I tend to lean the striker here. I could see Fletcher getting caught, but I don't know if we bet in this fight. Didn't really look into it a ton, so I'm just going to side with Romaska by decision.
Ziggy by decision. All right. Yeah, not a super cool fight in my opinion. I think they probably should have pushed us back a little further just to get the most out of the fighters. But second fight of the night is between two boring wrestlers, Andre Petrosky and Dick Butkus, Dylan Budka. And Jared, you can start with this one, man. Who do you got between these two?
Yeah, this is a real, real strong opinion on this one. I don't think Budka's UFC level. Petrosky all day. I really think he should just walk through this guy. They're both one-dimensional fighters. You know, they both want to wrestle. But I just think Budka's nowhere near the level of Petrosky. I think a lot of people might think Petrosky's going to, you know, go for the quick sub. But I won't be shocked if he finds a knockout here. Probably a good line on it, too. But no matter how he gets it, I think Petrosky just absolutely walks through this dude. So I'm going to say Petrosky, round one knockout.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Not bad. Alex, where you at?
100% agree with Jared. Mismatch, in my opinion. I'm going to go with the grappler here. I'm going to say submission, round one. But boy, am I confident on Andre Petroski? Am I going to be throwing him in a lot of parlays this week? Absolutely not. Completely unreliable. Chinny. Definitely one of the spots I might be staying away from. If I have any action on this, it's going to be extremely small. But Petroski has to be the side.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on Petroski. I'm going to take him by decision here just because I think this is a little closer than people make it out to be. And you know, Petroski being a massive favorite here is fucking nuts. Tapology has him listed as a minus 280. He's above 300 at this point. Dude, he's chinny. His striking is garbage. That whole gym, that Renzo Gracie Philly gym, their striking is bad. And we're going to get to Sean Brady later. Their striking is fucking awful. And it seems like these guys all just get together and they just, you know, grapple each other instead of working on their striking. Their grappling is solid. I don't know why you're not focusing more on the striking. They're out of Philly. Philly's a boxing fucking capital of the United States, I would argue. So, I mean, it's just kind of interesting that the line is where it is. I might put a bet on Budka just for funsies, but for the sake of the show, I'm doing Petroski by decision. But I mean, Budka could sneeze on this dude and knock him out. You know, this guy is very chinny. Anything could happen in this fight. Jared, you're shaking your head. You don't think that Andre's chinny?
I just think you're being a little harsh on him. Just, I mean, the level of guys that he's been chinned by. I mean, his losses in the UFC, they're not bad losses.
Sure.
This is a mismatch, man. I think someone that's real UFC caliber, yeah, they can absolutely chin Petroski. In this fight, I'm not slightly worried about anything Budka's going to offer him.
Yeah, no, I'm with that. I just think that there is the one shot that, I mean, you know, Budka's probably, his coaches are telling him the same thing. This guy's chinny. If you can stand up just for a little bit with him, you might be able to get him. Because Fremd even had Petroski in a little bit of trouble on the feet, the small amount of time that it was there. And Fremd, I was back and forth if Fremd is really that bad. I think Fremd is terrible. I really do think he's not very good at all. And yeah, Petroski couldn't finish him. I don't know. It's one of those things where I just think that this is not as close as people, or as wide as people make it. I think it's a little bit closer than that. And yeah, betting Petroski, if you're actually taking action on Petroski's money line, that's sketchy. If you're going to take a method and round or something like that, or even a method like these guys are talking about, I think that's solid. But yeah, Petroski by points if I'm having to bet on this. So
Petroski is on the fucking whale this week. So confident.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I hope that he hits for you then for sure. I mean, I hope he hits too. I just hope it's by points, honestly, because I'm probably going to have that. And then I might have a sprinkle of Budka round one knockout just a little, because that's going to be wild odds. You know, $5, $10 on something like that will get you paid pretty well. Jared, you're supposed to go first, but I want to go first on this one. Then you can take the next two because I have a take, and maybe it's the same take that you guys all have, but I feel like this is an interesting spot. Jacqueline Amorim, very attractive Brazilian woman versus Vanessa Dimopoulos, who, you know, she used to be a stripper. She's got a nice body, face a little scary sometimes, but you know, she's very good at what she does. Pressure heavy style. Judges love this girl's style, and Jacqueline Amorim is a little bit, you know, like she's kind of a gas monster, right? Like she gasses out pretty quick. Amorim could catch Dimopoulos early in like some kind of sub, but her striking is not very good, in my opinion. Dimopoulos is active. They're in Vegas. I gotta take the dog here. She's almost a plus 300 dog. I have to take Dimopoulos in this spot, and I might look to live bet after round one because I think Amorim probably wins that round, and Dimopoulos is going to be like a 15 to 1, maybe even more after that because of the domination. Amorim could even get like a massive like 10-8 or something like that just off of the forward pressure. But she's going to gas. Her last fight was against someone that should be in, or I guess two fights ago. She should be at 105, right? They don't have that division though. So I don't think Amorim's that good. So give me Demopolis. Give me her by points over a gassed out Amorim. Jared, what do you got?
I feel like I'm almost too confident in this fight. I am all on the Demopolis side here. With Amorim, I think she has great jujitsu, but she has pretty trash striking, and I don't trust her. I don't trust her gas tank, and I'm not worried about her on the feet at all. With Demopolis, I mean, she's a robbery queen. Fucking, I'd say you could argue every decision she's won in the UFC has been a robbery. But you know that they really seem to like her. I think her grappling is definitely good enough to stay out of trouble here.
That's a scary picture.
Yeah, it is. And I'd still do it.
Oh yeah.
But
no question.
Yeah, man. She's just what I like about her here is just she's way more scrappy on the feet. Like I just think she's the meaner girl. You know, she doesn't mind getting hit. She will take one to land one. She really doesn't care. And I'm not worried about what Amorim's throwing at her on the feet. So, you know, how do I not take Demopolis here? I think she's just simply the tougher girl, and I just think she's meaner. She can out tough her here. I wouldn't sleep on a Demopolis, maybe like round three finish. That could be a real good line, but I'll say she wins by decision. But either way, you got a plus 250 dog. Why get greedy with a prop? But definitely taking Demopolis here. I feel really, really good about it.
I mean, does this girl look like she fights? Like, look on, God, you see God on Instagram? Jacqueline,
God damn.
Look at that Lord. Ass. I mean, she is a very attractive woman. I think she missed her calling in a more important female sport, which is porn. But yeah, she's very good. She is a good jiu-jitsu girl, though, like you said. But yeah, Alex, where are you at on this one?
I've been back and forth, you know, because I know Amorim's the better BJJ girl. I know the first round's going to be very scary. Demopolis usually doesn't look good in the first round. Here's my take on this. I'm with you guys. I like Vanessa. How do you not bet her here? It just feels like a trap with the odds. If Vanessa gets out of round one, it's her fight to win, I believe. Even though Amorim showed a little bit more of an improvement in her cardio in the past couple fights against Ruiz, I think Vanessa got that dog in her. She's got more heart than Amorim. I think she can dig deeper than Amorim. So I'm going to get my live bet ready for Vanessa after round one. I think a double method bet is good here as well. Take Amorim by sub. That's the only method I see her winning. Maybe a decision as a secondary. And then you could take Demopolis by decision on the other end. I think that's a safe pick. I am going to go with Vanessa by decision. But boy, if I'm betting it, I'm going to take that double method with Amorim sub because that's how I think her path to victory is.
Okay. So you got Demopolis by decision.
Correct.
And you're on decision as well, Jared?
Yep.
Just to be clear. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of people on Demopolis, and that line hasn't really moved much, so that is a red flag in a way. But, I mean, yeah, the most likely outcome of this fight is a sub in round one for Amorim, but I just don't think that she gets that. Like, that on paper, that's the most, you know, on paper, Anthony Smith, we need this guy in here right now. But on paper, Amorim should get that sub in round one. I just don't see it. So something to be wary of when there is a big public underdog that everyone's on. Maybe you don't want to be on that side, but we are not heeding that warning here, obviously. So this is yours, Jared, to take. This is a pretty cool matchup, I think. Gabriel Santos, who I think is 0-2.
Yep.
In the UFC? Yeah, he's 0-2, but he's fought some great competition. Lerone Murphy is a tough fight for anybody, and then David Onama is, I would argue, he's a tough fight for a lot of people as well. And he's fighting Yizha. Who do you got?
I think here we're looking at a guy taking a step down in competition and a guy taking a step up in competition. With Santos taking a step down, Yizha taking a step up. You know, I just think there's nowhere that he's better than Santos. You know, I think grappling is what he does best, but I think Santos has some real slick grappling himself. I like him on the feet. The dude has pretty good striking, switches stances often. Depending on his opponent's stance, that'll make him switch stances to find those low kicks. I like the way the guy fights. He brings the fight to his opponent. Guy doesn't like taking backward steps. if he's fighting an aggressive guy, the dude really stands his ground, which, yeah, that's gotten him caught before, but yeah, 0-2 in the UFC. You look at the guys that he's losing to, a split decision against Lerone Murphy, no shame in that. And then against Onama, I think he was definitely winning that fight up until he got caught. And hey, it's a fight. You get caught, it happens sometimes. But I think he's a well-rounded dude. I just think he's a solid fighter. And this is definitely a step down in competition. So I think this is a way more winnable fight than his first two. This is a really, really good matchup for Santos, I think. So I'm going to say Santos can find a submission here in round one.
I like that. I like that. Alex, what do you got?
I agree with Jared. I like Santos in this spot. I think the line is a bit wide. The thing is, Yi Za should be a bantamweight, in my opinion. I think he's a little bit undersized at featherweight. I think Gabe's going to have a massive size advantage. I think he's going to be the weight bully in there. And I think he's going to be the one who has the takedowns here. I think he's the one who gets the takedowns. I think he's the one who's going to have the control time. I do agree with Jared, but I am going to go with a different method. I think Ziha is super tough, and I think he gets beat down for three rounds. We're going to see a 30-27 unanimous decision for Santos.
All right. I like that. You guys ever play Street Fighter when you were kids?
Oh, yeah. On the fucking – he's playing the Sega.
Yeah, dude. Sega. I think it was maybe on PlayStation. Maybe. I don't know. But I think that's where I was playing. I played it mostly at the arcade. Just got E Honda in today, the fat sumo guy, right? He's even got the thong on, so it's
Ryan
nice.
Is never beating the autism allegations.
It's nice. I'm starting my Street Fighter collection. I got Dal Sim, fucking the little Banshee guy, the little guy that charges at Blanca, and Chun Li, that Asian with the fat ass. But as far as the pick goes on this, man, I'm on Santos knockout round two. I'll keep it short. I agree with everything that both of you guys said, especially Jared, when you say this is step down for Santos, step up for Yi Za. Road to UFC guys aren't very good. Just look at that Indian guy. Easy call for me. I think that Santos should be in a whale bet as well.
He is.
Well, good. I'm glad because, yeah, that seems like one of the more locky fights on this card. I said you were taking back-to-back fights here. So, yeah, we're all on Santos, different methods. But, Jared, this one's yours as well. Andre Lima versus Felipe Dos Santos. And if you're going to take a prop on a fight to get a point deduction, this is it.
You beat me to it, man. I was going to say the same thing. This would be the fight for a point deduction. I think these guys are both a little dirty. I've seen Lima grab fence numerous times. Some hot Spanish girl walking by.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
You know, that's my weakness.
You want to see her?
Yeah.
It's going to be weird, but all right, let's go. Let's go for a family trip here.
Let's see what we got.
Hold on, I'm going to turn this thing around. Oh, there's a little. There we go. With her boyfriend.
Like a treat. She's little call hot, her. Call her. Oh, yeah, your hat?
I live here, bro.
Yeah. And it looks like she's got a man with her there, too.
Yeah, she does. Hopefully he can fight. But yeah, fucking great fight here. This is fucking prospect versus prospect. I mean, I think these guys are going to come out here and fucking strike. This is I just love this matchup. How do you not like both guys? You know, Lima, real, real sharp kickboxing. The dude throws everything fast. Love the low kicks. I do have a little concern with him that he can definitely be wrestle fucked. Even though he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, the dude can create scrambles. I've still, you know, we've seen him pinned against the fence. We've seen him grabbing the fence. You know, that fight where the guy bit him, he was losing that fight up until the bite. And, yeah. You know, it just showed like this guy is absolutely beatable. I think he gets a lot of more credit than he deserves. I think he's a great fighter, but I just think he's a little rated a little too high, a little too early. But you know, the striking is great. I'm definitely would be concerned about his grappling the longer the fight goes. Dos Santos, another solid striker. This dude is always willing to get into a wild exchange. And, you know, you see this guy get cracked and he's not deterred. This dude comes to fight and, you know, you got to like that, but he's high volume. He's a dude that really believes in his striking. And I mean, he shows his opponents no respect on the feet. The guys that Liam has been fighting, they've been a little hesitant because they're worried about what Liam is bringing back at them. I don't think Dos Santos is like that, man. I think he's going to meet him in the middle, and this is going to be a firefight. And I see Dos Santos being a guy that's more willing to take risk. Of course, that can get him caught. But man, it's a great fight. Feels like a coin flip. I mean, prospect versus prospect. I think both these guys are definitely going to have their moments. But man, gun to my head, I'm going to side with Dos Santos to get a decision here. And I've definitely got to punt like $20 on a point deduction. Fucking plus 2,000. You know, I can't not do that.
Oh, yeah. That's like $400 or something that you would get. I think maybe more than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will be doing the same. I will tail that. Now, for me, I'm on the exact same side because of everything that you said. You know, beating Mitroposo via split decision, I don't think that screams prospect. Igor Severino, he was absolutely dominated in that fight. And I think that Igor bit him because he was so frustrated with the fucking cheating. Like, this dude cheated more than I've ever seen. He never got called. He got like a soft warning and that was it. But yeah, this dude grabs the fence. He misses weight. I think that trying to make it down to this weight actually hurts him a lot. And I think that Dos Santos is going to chin him here, to be honest, because he went to war with Manel Cop. I know that you guys look at his striking as, you know, you hold it in high regard. So yeah, dude, I think Dos Santos actually clips him here. And I think it could come a little later, like even round three, but I'm going to go round two knockout for Dos Santos. So that's the pick. Alex, where are you at here, man?
Other side, very confident too. Andre Lima, very confident. Only thing I'm worried about is he's never made 125 yet in the UFC. You know, Mitch, or he has, you guys. Maybe, well, Dana White Contender Series, let's not count that. But Igor missed weight, and Mitch was a 135 catch weight. So I am worried about how he will look on the scales. You know, you do bring up a good point on that, Ryan. So I no bet until I see him on the scale and he looks good at 125. You know, that's just a must. But I think he's the one with the better hands. I think he hits harder. I think he's more likely to get a finish here. Obviously, Felipe could mix it up and come in with a great game plan, which would be very smart of him, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to come in here, he's going to strike with Lima. And, you know, just stats alone, 60% striking defense to 40. You know, different opponents, obviously. I think Felipe has fought better competition. I agree with you guys. But I think Lima's the bigger guy. I think he's cutting more weight, and I think he hits harder. I'm going with Lima, and I think anything close is going to go to Lima. You know, guy got a tattoo. He's promoting the UFC a lot more than Felipe, in my opinion. And Felipe's coming off an absolute robbery. One of the worst robberies I've seen in a long time against Victor Altamirano. Absolute blatant robbery. He should be 0-2 in the UFC. He's going to be 0-3 this Saturday. I'm going to go with Lima. Unanimous decision.
Yeah, if it does go the distance, I could see them giving it to Lima to protect that O. But yeah, I think Dos Santos, and I love that camp. If Charles Oliveira is in the corner of Dos Santos, his odds of winning skyrocket too. I don't know what it is. Like, these guys want to fight for their guy, Charles. I just don't think he will be, because I'm pretty sure his wife's pregnant. So I don't think he will be available that weekend. This is kind of a squash match here. Alex, this is yours. You're next in the queue here. Isaac Delgarian versus Brendan Morote. What method, what round are you taking Isaac in, Alex?
Well, being from Massachusetts, I have a little bit of – I don't have bias, but I watch all the Massachusetts fighters, and I watch their fights. And they are hella tough. Hella tough. So if I'm going to have any lean here – I just want to take Morote not to get knocked out, which means, you know, I'm leaning Isaac Delgarian by sub as far as a method. And that's how Massachusetts fighters lose, man. They're so tough that you don't want to fight with them in the striking. You want to wrestle them. You want to take them there. You want to take the easier path to victory. So Delgarian by sub at plus 155 is definitely my route to victory. I think a double method on Delgarian by sub or decision is also a good look. You could probably turn that minus 3,000 money line into something bettable around minus 200, minus 150. So that's my look. I would never, ever suggest putting this man anywhere close to minus 3,000 in anything. You're forced to take a prop here. And, yeah, I'm going to be rooting for Brendan, though, but betting on your heart doesn't make money here. I'm going to go Isaac, round one submission.
Okay. Yeah, these guys are tough, and you know, Calvin Kattar and like all these different guys, or Qatar, however the fuck you say his name. Like these guys, you know, they're tough dudes out there. But yeah, Isaac, I think, is very good, and I see why he's a minus 3,000 in this spot. And I think that he knocks out Marat on the ground. His ground and pound is lethal. And yeah, you can be tough, but if it's a bad visual for, you know, one of these softer judge or softer referees, excuse me. You know, he's just getting his fucking face pounded in. He's pouring blood out of his nose and his eyes and shit, his mouth. I mean, I think that he gets stopped in round one via ground and pound by Isaac, the Midwest chopper. But oh, where are you at on this, Jaren?
Yeah, this is just a fight I didn't really think warranted much thought. Dulgarian by whatever he wants. Dude comes out fast, super aggressive. I'm sure he's going to get Murat out of here early. So we'll go Dulgarian, round one knockout.
Okay.
Also, we have a saying at Jared's house with all our friends and I, and it's ride Massachusetts chins.
Yeah, how'd that work out in this guy's debut?
Other than that, outlier, you know, Massachusetts chins are extremely durable. I would recommend not betting against them.
Well, I'm going to be. I'm with you though. I think I think it makes sense. But you guys are probably a little bit more partial to these Massachusetts guys because you're from the area.
Yeah, a bunch of long face whites over here. Right. Guys.
And I actually have been saying for a little while, I don't think that New England fighters in the UFC at that level are the greatest. Like I really don't. Like, you know, that's just my opinion. I think that in general, these guys are tough, but I mean, the only way that you know someone's tough, I heard this somewhere, I forget where, the only way that you know someone's tough is because they gotten the shit beat out of them and not knocked out. And that's not a good look. Like you still lose fights like that. So I wouldn't hate anyone for sprinkling a Marat knockout round one, sprinkling it, because that's insane odds. But I'm talking like pennies, like just you're going to lose that bet, but it's a fucking fist fight. Marat's not very good, but maybe he knows that the takedown's coming. He can throw up a knee or something. I'm not recommending it. I might sprinkle it, but my very convinced pick is Dulgarian knockout round one. And I think he gets it done just very early. You can hammer that under 1.5. It's probably fucking, you know, minus 500 or something. But yeah, Dulgarian is the spot, and that's no secret. Now, this fight's fun. OSP versus Ryan Spann. Okay. Ryan Spann seems like he has all the tools to be good, but it's fucking, I don't know if it's his mindset, his cardio, what it is. He sucks. He is just not good. And that's where I'm standing on this. OSP is very old. He had his best performance last time out against Kennedy and Zedjikou, who is also not very good. Like he's just not, he's very tall. He's skilled, but it seems like he doesn't have that killer instinct or whatever. Like he's just not, I've never regarded him that highly. He's just such a specimen. It's kind of hard not to pick him in fights. And that's similar to Ryan Spann here, but this has to be Ryan Spann's fight to win. He's lost 3 in a row. He's definitely getting fucking booted if he doesn't beat a 41-year-old OSP. It's just hard to get to Ryan Spann here. It really is, man. Like Ryan, if he comes out in that fucking shower cap and the fucking cape in his media day, I'm going to bet OSP. Like I will tell you right now, I'm going to bet OSP if this dude wears the shower cap and the fucking cape. He said he was doing it for his kids. That's great. I don't have kids, you know, but he has this cool thing about him where he's like, oh, like this stuff doesn't matter. I'm not nervous. I'm just going to come out here and wear shit that I wear around the house. But you got to take this a little more serious at this point. You're losing your job if you don't fucking get this. So lose the shower cap, put the cornrows up a day earlier or whatever you got to do, and fucking don't wear that goddamn cape. And then I'm good to go. I'm betting on Spann, and I think that he should knock out OSP in round one. That's what should happen. But this all rides on the shower cap and the cape. I'm calling this the shower cap cape fade. if he comes out. So watch media day. You'll know your answer to my bet if he comes out with that stupid shit. But as for right now, I'm on Ryan Spann, knockout round one over OSP. Alex, where are you at?
I'm all over Spann here. I agree with you. It's just hard finding a prop, and trying to get greedy on Spann this week is where a lot of people are going to lose money, I think, because you can make a claim for the submission. You can make a claim for the KO. Heck, I could even make a claim that he can out-wrestle OSP and win a decision. So as far as props, this is one of the unpredictable fights on the card. I would stay far away from it. But I'm absolutely using I'm absolutely using Ryan the Can Spann as a leg. And I might be regretting it this week. I do like the spot. I think he has the grappling edge here as well. Younger guy, back against the wall as well. I'm going to go Spann to keep his job, even though he's such a can.
Yeah, he's bad. So you're going decision, you said.
No. I'm going to go Spann first round submission.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, OSP has that Von Prue choke, right? Like he calls it the Von Prue, the Von Flue choke. He hasn't done one of those in a while, though. So it's yeah, I think that Spann should have the edge everywhere, but it doesn't seem like he takes his career serious. Jared, what do you think?
You guys touched on everything. This is a fight. I don't even think I'm going to bet this. Spann round one knockout. Not putting much thought into it. Didn't do much tape on it. It's just a weird fight. Like how do you trust OSP at 41? You know, he comes out last time, wins the fight that nobody thought he was going to win. And then it's like, how do you just Ryan Spann? Like you said, it's almost like the guy doesn't take things seriously. You know, 3-fight losing streak. It's so hard to get behind either guy here, but we'll just roll with Spann. Who cares?
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird fight, but it's very logical matchmaking, I think. Like, it just makes sense. Like, this is not a crazy – it's not a mismatch. It's not a goofy matchup. It's a weird fight because you want – I mean, everything in your body is going to tell you to pick Ryan Spann if you know anything about UFC and these athletes. But, I mean, it's just hard to depend on them. So, yeah, I think it's a good matchup, and it's going to be an entertaining fight, I think. But, yeah, just it is weird, man. I agree. Moving on up, Jared, we'll go back to you for this one. Rong Zhu versus Chris Taco Padilla. Love that nickname. Love tacos. What do you got in this one, man?
Oh, as I know him as Chris Padilla.
Sure.
Yeah, dude, when I look at Padilla, he's just a guy. I don't think he's great on the feet. He's definitely got some power, but he just doesn't have a ton of volume, and he's pretty hittable, you know? Like, he's just, in his striking, he's kind of, when he lands hard, he's not fast on his exits, or he's just not clean. He doesn't frame out. He just kind of hangs out in the pocket too long, and the guy's there to get hit. He has solid wrestling, good jiu-jitsu, very, very clear path to victory for him here. It would be on the ground. But Rong Zhu, I mean, I like this guy, man. He's a high pace, and he has good cardio. He can maintain a high pace. I like the striking. The dude's got good movement. I like this, you know, always switching stances, depending on what the other fighter is showing him. I just think all around he's a solid fighter. Definitely prefer him to stay on his feet here. But, you know, he's one of these guys that, you know, he had that very short run in the UFC, and then he went to the road to UFC and he made his way back. So, you know, I think he's a solid fighter. He's definitely been improving, and it's nice to see a guy like this make his way back to the UFC. So I'm going to go Rong Zhu by decision here.
Rong Zhu by decision. Alex, what do you think?
100% with Jared here, except a different method. I think I got a trend here. This guy's 24 years old. 24 years old. He's young. How often do you see a 24-year-old have a second stint into the UFC? And they don't bring guys back to lose. They don't cut guys, bring them back because they don't believe in them. Rong Zhu is the rightful favorite here. He stops takedowns. He's going to finish Padilla. I'm going to take Rong Zhu to get that second round knockout. I'm confident. I like him. I'm going to have him as a parlay piece this week. And, yeah, I'm fading Jacob's Lock of the Week from that We Want Picks channel. Screw them. They're cold as ice. I'm taking the favorite here. Give me that money.
I mean, they're actually super fucking hot. They've done really well. They just missed yesterday. they fucking make a lot of fucking good picks on that show. But yeah, I think Jacob went over 5 in his fucking contender series picks, which, you know, he says he doesn't do tape on those. I actually like Taco here, dude. I'm gonna go against you guys. I think that he's got what it takes to beat this road to UFC guy. I know he fought in the UFC, lost to Ignacio Bahamondes, which is, I mean, that dude's good, but not awesome. I think Padilla is just meaner. I think he's got more to kind of catch Rong Zhu off guard. And I mean, you know, that Yontop fight, I think that win, that finish, ages pretty well, where he went, you know, 15 minutes in a striking match with fucking, what's his nuts, Slava Claus. And I think that he actually won that fight, but I think that the judges gave it to Slava because of Uriah Faber. Like, when I watched it live, that's what I thought. I don't remember betting on either one of those guys, but I just remember seeing Yontop. I thought that he won. Close fight, obviously. I think it ended in split. But, yeah, give me Chris Padilla. And I think that he could knock out Rong Zhu early, but I'm going to say knockout round 2 for Taco. But yeah, tough fight. I think it's a good matchup too. So we'll see what's up. This is a fun fight too. Anytime Trevor Peake's fighting, this is a dude that you would not want to fight in a bathroom. You never want to fucking see Trevor Peake in a bathroom and he's pissed off on meth or whatever. And he's wanting to fight you because that's a bad spot to be in. But he's taking on a Israeli fighter in Yanal Ashmoz. The UFC brass loves their Israeli fighters and they try and match them up accordingly. But it is an interesting matchup. Alex, you can take this one first. What do you think about probably the least skilled fighter in the UFC, but one of the toughest versus, you know, a kind of a more traditional mixed martial artist?
I like Trevor here, to be honest. I think it's going to be pretty close. But I think he showed a different level to his game last fight out against Muhammad Yahya, even though it's not going to look good in hindsight because he should have finished him. But he showed a very level-headed game plan in there. He showed that he can slow down the pace. And it showed that, you know, Trevor Peake's growing in his fight IQ. And he's learning a lot. And he is still young. So I kind of like Trevor Peake here just based on size. I think Yanal is shorter, even though he's 5'9". I think Yanal is going to be the smaller guy here. You know, 2-inch reach advantage for Trevor Peake, and I do think he is a little bit taller. I'm going to go with the guy who has the same birthday as me. I'm going to go with Trevor Peake.
Wow.
I'm going to say he wins the decision, but I'm going to say it's close. Not super confident on this. Betting a Trevor Peake fight is absolutely going to cause you a heart attack. And the over-under here is crazy because we all know Peake could just come out like a bat out of hell and then the under isn't looking too good.
Yeah, so what was your method decision?
Peake decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, he might try to slow it down like he did in his last fight. Yeah, not finishing Yahya is a tough look. Especially when he could have, if he just would have done what he does and go out there and fight like a bat out of hell, he would have knocked out Yahya. But for whatever reason, he tried to slow down. Maybe he just wanted the experience wrestling. And he used that opportunity to basically get a free fucking fight in the UFC and just dominate this dude on the ground. But Jared, what do you think?
You know, I was really harsh on Trevor Peake since he's coming to the UFC. I'm like, this dude fucking sucks. He treats every fight like a bar fight. If you watch, like, if you look at his amateur fights, he's literally fighting in a cage in a bar with fucking duct tape all over it. Like, it's for real insane to watch.
That's dope.
It's pretty sick. Like, some random fucking bar in Alabama. I'm just like, that is fucking nuts.
Probably Tennessee. He's from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Well, the amateur ones I saw, I know whatever the duct tape cage, they kept saying Alabama. So it was some random fucking bar in Alabama.
Okay.
But either way, hilarious.
It's fucking, but yeah, cool.
I've been shitting on this dude since he came into the UFC. I think I've been way too harsh on him because, I mean, the dude, of course, he's super entertaining. He has the fucking vintage standing hammer fist. It's fucking hilarious. And, you know, he's a guy, he believes in his power and he believes in his chin. He's going to go out there and he's going to scrap. I mean, you put money on this guy, you know, he's at least fighting for your money. He's just been so sloppy. But even though he lost his last fight, he came out like a lot more technical, maybe too technical. Of course, his inner Trevor Peak did come out with the standing hammer fist. But, you know, I was just like, damn, you know, I'm shitting on the whole leading up to that Charlie Campbell fight where I had Charlie Campbell. I thought I was fucked there for a little bit because, you know, I was like, man, this Peak is clearly improving. Like, you can tell this dude's taking this shit seriously. Like, he just looks so much more measured and he just looks so much cleaner than when he first came in. In a short amount of time, this dude's making a ton of improvements. And I just think if you're going to beat Trevor Peak, you need to fucking sleep this dude or you just need to outclass him. You need to be a clean, technical striker. With Ashmaus, I don't see that in him. The guy does come out with a, you know, a fairly well-balanced approach. You know, if he's smart, he's probably going to look to wrestle here. But just on the feet, I mean, this dude's not the cleanest striking. Obviously, Peak isn't either. But, you know, not super clean. The guy does have big power. I'm not concerned about Peak's chin. I just, like I said, man, to beat Peak, I think you got to be tactical. I think you got to be clean or you got to knock him out. I don't see any of these things in Ashmaus. So I'm going to say Trevor Peak finds a knockout here. I'll call it round two.
Peak knockout round two. You stole my fucking pick. I have that exact thing.
Sorry, I stole my point deduction on the Lima fight.
Yeah, that's true. Alex, what were you going to say?
I want to change my pick to knockout. I want to ride.
Knockout round two?
I want to ride with the boys.
All right, I like it. I respect that. Usually we don't allow pick flips on this show, but we'll allow that one because we're all on.
We'll allow
one.
It for Peak Week.
Yeah, Peak Week, dude.
And
yeah,
Alex is going to allow it, bro. You're the guest. Remember that.
I know. Alex, is that okay to allow? We good?
It's his show. Of course it's okay.
I don't want to get kicked off. no, I'm just giving you shit. Okay, so I fucking love Trevor Peak. I like his story. I think everything about him is cool. He has that simple Jack haircut. Did you see the Indian burn? Have you ever been Indian burned as a kid?
Oh, like an Indian sunburn, like that.
They take your forearm and they twist it.
Yes.
Peak did that against Charlie Campbell. Okay. The guy's a fucking fighter. Like, he's a fighter. He probably had flashbacks to fighting like older sisters or something when he was a little kid. And he was just like, this worked last time. So he just did it. I love the dude's style. I wish that the UFC had more of Trevor Peak's in its roster. I think it's just, this dude should always have a job with the UFC. Even if he never wins a fight again, he should always be employed. And I hope that everyone feels the same about that because the dude's just fucking fun. That Southern drawl is hilarious. Like, I just like everything about this dude. I think he's been working with Bryce Mitchell a little bit, and that's what's been improving his ground game. And that's going to improve your ground game because that is where Bryce Mitchell thrives. He can't take a punch. You know, Bryce Mitchell can't. But if you could get a little bit of Bryce Mitchell in this Trevor Peak guy, he's going to be a problem. And look at who he's lost to. Charlie Campbell and Chepe Mariscal. Those are two bona fide prospects. Like, those are two, like, those guys are going to be ranked and they could even crack the top five. And one of them could even fight for a title at some point. Possibly. I'm not trying to go too crazy here. But he's losing to very good fucking guys, very good guys. So, yeah, I'm not going to take much from his losses. We didn't know much about Chepe when he got into the UFC. So Trevor Peak was actually the favorite in that fight. But I mean, dude, Chepe's looked fucking incredible in his last. I mean, since he's gotten into the UFC, he's not lost. So, I mean, he probably lost that fight against the French dude, but, you know, counts as a win. I got to go Trevor Peak here, and I'm on that round two knockout. Obviously, we already kind of spoiled that, but it could come in round one. But, yeah, I don't see Ashmaus as somebody. He caught that tall, nerdy-looking kid. I forget the guy's name. If one of you guys know it, feel free to just jump in. But
is it Sam Patterson?
Sam Patterson. He caught him, but Sam Patterson is bad at striking, like, and he has that tall man defense.
Fucking giraffe neck, too.
Well, yeah, his neck is like this, and then he leans out when he's fucking, you know, getting out of the pocket. And that's an easy to call back to the We Want Picks guys that Alex was shitting on. They were both heavy on Yanal Ashmaus, even though he was a big dog in that spot. because Sam Patterson's defense is just, it's a bad matchup. So, yeah, man, Trevor Peak knockout all day. And yeah, we're all calling round two. And I think that that is the move because Ashmose, he's got to know. He's a smart guy. He's got to know. Yeah, this round one is going to be a sweat. So I need to stay safe. And then he's going to think that Peak is gassing, which Peak does not gas. And Peak is going to come out and knock his fucking head off into the third row in round two. So fun stuff. Jared, who did that last one first? Jared, did you or did Alex?
I think that was Alex.
All right. You can take this pretty – I think this is actually a good matchup. People are shitting all over Matt Schnell. I think this is a cool matchup. I do have a decided winner in this. But Matt Schnell – Matt Danger Schnell versus Cody Durden. Matt Schnell's become a danger to himself, it seems, lately. But what do you think about this matchup?
Damn, you beat me to a joke about that danger nickname. I was gonna
Hey, we're just beating each other. We're beating each other off today. You know,
that was
I mean?
Pretty good, though. I think yours is better than what I was going to go with.
What was yours?
For every moment he's on the feet, he's in danger.
That's clean, too. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of words, you know? Mine was
a little too many. Yeah, it didn't roll off the tongue quite as nice. I don't know, man. This kind of threw me for a loop with Cody Durden stepping in on short notice. Like, against Alessandro Costa, I thought I had a pretty good idea how that fight was going to go. Now with Durden in on short notice, it just kind of threw a wrench in it. But man, you got to respect Durden. I mean, this dude is fucking active and he comes to fucking fight. I mean, you got to love that. I definitely got to refresh my memory on just him a little bit, see if I can poke any holes. But yeah, it's tough to make a pick right now. Matt Schnell, I think he is he's a very good fighter. Like, if you look at the guys that he's lost to, they're respectable names. If you look at the guy he's beating, they're not the best. But I think he's just really not that bad. He always seems to find himself in a wild exchange, and his chin's just, it's gone. It's simply not there. When this dude loses, he usually gets finished in devastating fashion. You know, Cody Durden's just a guy, man. He got that dog in him. He's going to fight every minute. You know, there's not a minute of this fight that he's not going to be trying to win. Fuck, man. I gotta do some tape here and think some more. But honestly, right now, I'm just going to say Matt Schnell is going to be winning this fight up until he gets knocked out or subbed. I'm gonna say Cody Durden can catch him. Say Cody Durden, round two knockout.
Durden, round two knockout. Okay, and I spelled his name wrong on my paper, so that's not good. Round two knockout. Yeah, dude. I'm curious. I mean, you really think that Jimmy Flick, or no, I should say JP Bayes. You don't think JP Bayes is good, dude?
No.
I know. Me neither. But, I mean, okay. Charles Johnson and Jake Hadley are good, like, objectively.
No, I was talking about Schnell's wins and losses.
Oh, okay. I misheard you then. Because, yeah, I think that, I mean, also, Durden was an underdog against Hadley and Johnson, and I think Mota as well. And he obviously came out with the unanimous decision because he's a grapple-heavy striker, or grapple-heavy fighter, I should say. But yeah, man, Schnell, before I go to Alex here, who's this guy beating? Steve Ursig losing to him, which Steve Ursig showed some bad, 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 fucking bad fight IQ against Kaikar France.
I was saying was Schnell's losses are to respectable names. His wins, not so much.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm going through his wins and losses here. So sure. Ursig's great. Probably a little overrated, I would say, at this point. I think he's a little overrated.
Mateus got thrown to the wolves so early, man.
No, man, because the reason why, and we should have, when we put him in the ladder, we were the most confident in him because he fought for a title. He lost that title fight.
Did we have him or did we have the over?
We had the over 1.5.
All right.
You're right.
But yeah, let's not be too harsh on Ursig, man.
I like Ursig.
He was very close to winning that title fight. In the fifth round, he had a lapse of judgment, went for a takedown, and ended up costing himself the fight.
But so I mean, you're making my point for me that he has bad fight IQ. He goes out and stands with Kaikar France.
Well, what do you want him to do? Shoot on him right away? The fight fucking ended in the first round. I mean, yes. They barely even got to settle into the fight.
With someone that fucking quick that you're so much bigger than, yes, you shoot quick, right? And it would have fucking saved us $900. Well, $400, really, because, you know, we went against Alex's judgment in that one. We pulled out 500 profit. But, yeah, Mateus Nicolau, I think he's kind of a little bit washed at this point. Sumedurji, not very good. Brandon Royval, great. I mean, and then he's got a million canceled fights. So, you know, it's kind of irrelevant at that point. But yeah, to your point, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you that he's beating bad guys and he's losing to good guys. Where does Cody Durden fall into this? That's the question. Alex, what do you think?
You know, just have a little talk about this, guys. Cody Durden, how long ago, got absolutely beat up by Bruno Silva. He took a good amount of damage in that fight.
That was a month.
He beat the shit out of Bruno Silva until Bruno Silva. That was pretty fucking fluky. Can we be honest? We all had Bruno Silva there.
It was it was competitive up until it wasn't.
Bro, that first round, Durden beat the dog shit out of Bruno Silva.
Yeah, I think I actually had Durden in that fight.
I'm just saying, at the end. Regardless. Look at the damage he took at the end of that fight. Is that something you come back from 2 months after the fact? No offense.
If you're
you should be taking
fucking savage.
I'm just saying, you should be taking 6 months to a year if you're really considering victory the number one in your career. But I think he's really looking for paychecks at this point. I really think he's doing too much. I really think he should be taking time off. There's a lot of red flags at this point. The line is wide. Short notice. And you minus 300. That's the value's on Schnell. Schnell could come out here and he could keep it competitive on the feet. Absolutely. And what we've seen is that Cody's had some gas tank issues himself. He's had some chin issues himself. It's as if the playing field is a little bit even for Schnell here, in my opinion. I think the value is on him. You know, I might take a shot here on the dog. I've hit him before. I hit him against Sue Madurji. I've been pretty good with Matt Schnell fights, and something got me itching that, you know, he's going to be the dog here. I'm going to take a shot on him. I'm going to say that he actually knocks out Durden. I think he shocks a lot of people, and I think he starches him and gets a nice knockout and shocks the world.
Which round?
We'll go round two.
Okay.
Round two. He's going to get beat up for one round, obviously. He's Matt Schnell. But he usually looks good round one, so I wouldn't be shocked if it's round one. But I'm going to say he gets a little comeback here.
Yeah, I mean, both of you guys make good points. I am on Durden, and I'm going to take him by decision for a lot of the reasons that you said, Alex. This is short notice. Maybe he's coming in a little – not 100%. I think if this is a full camp for both guys, Durden's a fairly big favorite, maybe minus 300, 250, something like that. And yeah, I think that he dominates Schnell because he has that grappling style. I think that's the way, like when I think of Durden, I think of him as more of a wrestling type dude. Obviously he can do it all. He can strike, he can do all that shit, but I think he's going to come in here. He's going to play the smart game and wear out Schnell. He could get a late knockout. It's crazy at flyweight to be knocked out five or six times like Schnell has, five knockout losses for Matt Schnell. His chin is gone. His chin's got to be gone. And when's the last time he fought? We're talking about last time fights. It was against Urseg for sure, but that was 6 months ago. So that's like the correct time to come back after. He was knocked the fuck out, though. You can argue that when you're knocked out, it wasn't a TKO. He was stiff on the ground, absolute knockout. You probably should take about a year. He's 34. He doesn't have a year. Now, Durden's only 33, so we don't see much of like an age advantage or anything like that. Durden could absolutely get chinned, but I think that he wins this fight by decision, probably unanimous, just dominating Matt Schnell here. So, next fight of the night. I'm actually excited as fuck about this one. Kyle Nelson versus Steve Garcia. This is a sick matchup, dude. Really good matchup. You guys know how I feel about Canadian MMA, okay? These Canadian fighters suck. Jared and I, we texted a little bit back and forth last night after Shannon Clark got her fucking clock cleaned. And I was like, dude, Canadian MMA. And Jared's like, that's just Contender Series. And I'm like, no, that's Canada. Like, Canadians suck at fighting, realistically, okay? In my opinion, Kyle Nelson is kind of one of the exceptions. I think he's very fucking good. He's improved his game a lot. A lot of people that are UFC fans didn't have Kyle Nelson on a 3-fight win streak on their bingo card. And, he's doing really fucking well. I think he's beaten some good guys. That Blake Builder win, it's nothing. Blake Builder fucking sucks as far as MMA goes. If you look at Blake Builder's Instagram, he's always doing jiu-jitsu. And it's like, dude, you're already good at that. Like, he does this ninja move of the day shit where they're in a swamp. It's a gym, but it's a swamp because it's like a fucking insane amount of sweat on this damn mat. It's disgusting. But yeah, this dude is out there and he's just throwing crazy submissions that you cannot do in the UFC. And it seems like that's what he's working on. He needs to work on his striking and he needs to work on being more aggressive. So Blake Builder sucks. This Fernando Padilla, that's a solid win, man. And he beat that on the Mexico card. And I mean, he did it very convincingly. I had him that night and I also had him against Bill Algeo. That is actually you, Jared. You stepped in for Bill Algeo that night, right? Because that's that's the guy that I think looks like you. Now, was that an early stoppage? I don't think so. I think that it would have gone the same way because he was fucking Bill Algeo up. As much as I want to go against Canada and as much as I want to back somebody like Steve Garcia that can have five fucking knockout wins in a row and then you have to give him a ranked shot, I got to go with Kyle Nelson here, man. I think that Steve Garcia is going to go in. He's going to be very aggressive like he always is. And he's going to go for that knockout in round one. I think Kyle Nelson's improved his cardio. He's improved his technique. And he's not going to get slept like he did back here against Billy Q. That's Jai Herbert. But Billy Q slept him. That was in round three. And I don't think Garcia has the gas to go that hard for three rounds. So give me Kyle Nelson. I think he knocks out Garcia in round two. I know it's a crazy pick probably for a lot of people. But I actually really like Kyle Nelson, dude. So give me Kyle Nelson, knockout round two. Jared, where you at?
Yeah, great fight. And yeah, like you were saying, not many people are expecting Kyle Nelson on a three-fight win streak here. But, you know, Steve Garcia, he's a guy that I'll always maintain he's all offense, no defense. This is a dude that wants to come in here and brawl. This is just one of these ones is whose fight are we going to fight here? Because if you're Kyle Nelson, you can't allow yourself to get walked down. You can't find yourself trapped with your back to the fence. And he's really got to have good movement in this fight and keep Garcia at the end of his jab. Nelson's a guy with a real, real nice jab. He's got good low kicks. He's got really deceiving power. But it seems like he just loves finding himself in a close fight a lot of the times. You know, even in his losses, they always tend to be close fights. Good matchmaking here. Whose fight are we going to fight? You got a guy that I believe is kind of KO or bust and Steve Garcia. And then a guy in Kyle Nelson that I think he has that knockout ability, but he's very technical, solid fighter. I think he can mix things up. For me, everything here is pointing at Kyle Nelson. Could be a close fight. Just Nelson can't allow himself to, you know, get walked down by Garcia. You can't get in those wild exchanges with a guy like this because Garcia will abandon all technique and just try to take your head off. Nelson's just got to stay technical, stay clean. He should be able to get this done. So I'm going to say Kyle Nelson by decision.
I love that you are on Nelson with me. Alex, are we making this a three-peat?
I'm begging for a reason to bet on Steve Garcia. I wish the line was flipped because I'd be all over Garcia. But Nelson has more ways to win. He could come in, wrestle. He can knock Steve out. They have both improved so much over the couple years. It's just I like Steve Garcia. I'm going to be rooting for him, and it's going to be hard because they really trapped me into only betting Nelson here because plus money, honestly, I think he should be the favorite here. Should be even odds. There is value on Nelson. He was just matched up to fight Calvin Kattar. It's a little bit short notice for Garcia. I know if anyone's ready, it's going to be Steve, and a lot of his fights have been short notice recently, but it's a weird matchup. Definitely going to be fight of the night potential. If I'd have to bet anything on this fight, I'd be betting round two is not going to start. I really am pretty confident both of these guys are going to come in here and slug. Nelson would be very smart to mix it up. But I think we can all agree what Garcia is going to do. I think someone's going to be getting slept, maybe even under half a round. But I'm going to go Nelson round one KO.
We're all on Nelson here, the underdog. What can go wrong? Man, I mean, like I said, how can you not like Nelson? His fucking speech after I think it was the Mexico card, the whole arena's booing this dude. And he's like, you guys can boo all you want. I just had a kid. I'm the happiest man in the world. Like, I fucking love that. And then after that, his next speech was talking about how, I guess he's got another kid, I would assume, where, like, you know, dads need to be a part of their kids' lives and all this shit. I fucking love that. You know, like, I'm very hard on Canada and their mixed martial arts community there. But yeah, Kyle Nelson's one of the good ones, and I fucking hope he gets it done. It would be cool to see somebody get 5 knockout wins in a row in the American and Garcia here. And, you know, I always like to root for the Americans, but yeah, dude, I just can't fucking hate on Nelson. I don't understand why he gets booed like every single time he fucking wins. So yeah, give me Nelson here. This dude's got a chip on his shoulder. He wants to fuck this dude up. I'm going to go grab another beer while you guys break this down. Alex, you can start. You haven't started in a little bit. The ladies go at it. Jessica Andrade, who would be very pretty if she wasn't so manly. She's got very pretty eyes. But Natalia Silva is just a dime.
Very symmetrical, isn't she?
Who, Andrade?
Yeah, Andrade. Very symmetrical.
Yeah. I mean, if she didn't have bigger muscles than probably all three of us.
Combined.
And, you know, did you guys see her OnlyFans pictures?
Oh, the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was nightmare fuel. She's in like a bathtub with her giant arms and her tiny little tits. It was terrifying. But good for her. She's making that money. She would be pretty if she just didn't, you know, take so much acai as these Brazilians tend to do. But then we also have a very pretty Brazilian with Natalia Silva. And we're going to pull up her Instagram when I get back because it's a good look. But Alex, start with this one. Who do you think wins between these two Brazilians here?
I think Natalia Silva's too big. You know, Jessica Andrade ranked in 2 divisions. You got to respect it. But I think she's truly a strawweight here. I think she's better at the smaller weight division. She's more filled in for it. She can be a weight bully down there. I think Natalia Silva's just too big for her. I think she can clip her. I think she can submit her. I think she can win a decision, whichever way she wants. The prop here is tough. I think she is a good leg to bet. It is going to be scary, especially early in round one. But I'm going to go Natalia Silva. Round 2 KO. I think she's going to clip her. She's going to shock everyone. Everyone's going to be pretty upset. What are you thinking, Jared?
I'm right there with you on the same page. I like Silva. I just, with Andrade, I think she, you know, I hate to call her a KO or bust because, you know, you got to give her her flowers. She's a former champ. She's a former champ for a reason. Granted, it could be a no-fall-gay situation, but, you know, father time catches up with everyone. Granted, she's only 32 years old. She's had fucking, 27, 28 UFC fights. I mean, the girl's got a lot of miles on her. Very, very handsome woman. But, you know, she's coming in here. She's looking for a brawl. And I don't think Silva's going to give her that. You know, with Andrade, yeah, she wants a brawl. She hits fucking hard. We're going to be clenching our cheeks in that first round. But I think after that first round, the cardio will start to take a drop off. Although I think she can mix things up. At this point in both their careers, I don't think I see anywhere that she beats Silva other than that big KO punch. I feel like if you're taking on Andrade here, you're banking on a big knockout, which you know, I never want to be banking on one punch. I'd like to be banking on multiple pats, you know. With Silva, I mean, she's just a well-rounded girl and she's on the come up. You know, with these prospects, it usually takes a lot of convincing for me to buy into them, but I think Silva's just the full package, man. She got fast striking, she mixes up where her strikes are landing. And she's technical. She's clean. She's not one punch at a time. She's throwing combinations. She's ending a lot of them with kicks. And she's got a ground game too. And I think we haven't seen a ton of it in the UFC, her submission game, but I think she's got a speed advantage. I think she has grappling if needed. This is a great fight to need it against a girl with such heavy hands like Andrade. I just think Silva's the full package here. And I think this is where she is going to find her first submission in the UFC. So I'm going to say Natalia Silva by submission, say she gets it by the second round.
I don't hate that at all. Alex, what was your pick? I stepped away.
Silva round 2 KO.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, with Silva, you know, she's very skilled, obviously. I mean, she's fucking she's turned her career around, man. She's got an insane win streak going. A decent amount of those in the UFC. We're going to pull up her Instagram real quick while I'm up, you know, talking about her her ways to win here. You know, pretty girl. She's definitely, I think, she's more of a fighter than I think Jacqueline Amorim is. She's not taking these bikini pictures and stuff. She's not trying to show off her body a whole lot.
I was hoping for the bikini picture right when you said that.
I was hoping so too. That's why I said it, but
nowhere to be found though.
Yeah. I mean, she's a modest woman, a very modest woman. Look at this dress. That's just a classy girl right there. That's a girl you want to wife up if you get the opportunity. Yeah, I think Natalia Silva wins this all day. Andrade is not someone to be overlooked. She's obviously super skilled. People shit on her because her last like few wins are kind of, they seem fluky, and they were against people like Mackenzie Dern, to where, you know, Mackenzie Dern is not good. Like we got to keep it a buck, as the kids say. Dude, you know, Mackenzie Dern went out there and beat Lupita Godinez. I also think Lupi's very overrated, but her last two wins are against Marina Rodriguez and then Mackenzie Dern. I've never been high on Marina Rodriguez. I know you like her, Jared, because of that Muay Thai striking that she has, but I just don't think she's that good. I think
UFC needs to fucking cut her so I can stop losing on her.
The UFC does? Because you always pick her?
Get rid of her so I can stop fucking losing money on her.
She's on a rough fucking patch lately, too. She, you know, like,
fucking telling me.
One of my best bets all time was Lemos knockout against her. And I put a lot on that, and it fucking hit big. I think I even bet the round. I think it was round four. And she got that done for me big time. So always love Lemos for that. And then she fucked me in the Zhang Weili fight pretty good because I wanted to ride that momentum. But, yeah, give me Silva. Give me Silva by, I want to say, decision. I know that this has a high probability of ending, but I think Jessica Andrade, she's great at jiu-jitsu too. Like, people forget she's a black belt because of her wild style. But yeah, give me Silva by unanimous decision. I'll even call that. And I think she makes it look fairly easy, but may meet like a couple spots where she's struggling a little bit. So yeah, Silva decision for the special guest here on the show. Now, Jared, why don't you take this main event since you've been the hottest of us lately? You can start. Alex, you can go second. I'll go last. We got Gilbert Dorino Burns versus Sean Brady, whose striking sucks ass. But what do you think about this this matchup here?
I do think Sean Brady is like pretty one-dimensional, but I don't think his striking is as bad as everyone makes it out to be. It's not like the guy doesn't know how to throw a punch. He's not a striking base. You can tell he's not super comfortable there. The majority of his strikes are just trying to set up takedowns or just trying to get close. But we know what Sean Brady wants to do. He wants it in close. He wants it against the cage, on the ground. He's got a very strong clinch. He's got good takedowns. He's got good trips in the clinch. But, you know, that's it. You know, he is a one-dimensional wrestler. If he does get it to the ground, he's pretty good positionally. But against a guy like Gilbert Burns, even at 38 years old, this dude's well-rounded. He's had a very, very strong strength of schedule. I mean, you look at his last four losses. What is it? Jack Della, Bilal Muhammad, Khamzat, and then Usman. And that's when Usman was champ and before everyone decided to shit on him. You know, Burns is a real, real solid fighter. He's got good jiu-jitsu. I don't think he's a guy that's worried about getting taken down because he believes in his grappling. And on the feet, I think he's definitely the better striker. In this fight, I am 100% sure Burns will get taken down, but I'm also pretty damn sure he's going to get back up. He's a dude that has scrambles. He believes in everything he does. And I just think he has a lot more options and a lot more ways to win, while Brady really only has one path. And that one path is kind of a lay and pray, because I don't think you're going to be submitting. Yeah, I don't think you're going to be submitting Burns. So, you know, I think Brady's really only path is a lay and pray for 25 minutes. That is a tough thing to do against a guy like Gilbert Burns. So, yeah, I got to side with Gilbert Burns here. He might even be able to get Brady out of there late. So I'm going to say Gilbert Burns by knockout, and I'm going to say round four.
I love that pick. Alex, where are you at on this?
This is the no for gay. This is the Nofa Gay position, in my opinion. This is the Nofa Gay. I know Burns is a little bit older. I wish it was a couple years ago, because he looks like his cardio hasn't been keeping up with him lately. But that's why how I think of Sean Brady. I really don't think Sean Brady has 3 rounds of solid cardio in him. I think this 5-round fight is – I think Burns should be the favorite in a 5-round fight. If this was a 3-round fight, Brady should be 100% be minus 200 in that range, and he should win the fight. I would be betting Brady in this spot if it was a 3-round fight. It being a 5-round fight, whenever Brady has gone deep, other than the Kelvin Gastelum fight where he had a lot of time to recover in top position, wet blanketing him. So don't really look at that like he was wasting too much gas on top position. So I think Burns is going to make him work. I think Burns is going to have that gas tank out by round 3. I think Brady's going to be in survival mode by round 4. I think Burns can get him out of there in round 5, and I think we see a crazy comeback. I think Burns is going to be extremely competitive in the grappling. I think he may even get a takedown himself. I would not sleep on that, especially late when Brady gets tired. You know, Brady might not be against sitting on his back, you know, having a breather. So I'm going to go Burns. I think he should be the favorite. If Burns was the same age, it'd be the favorite. I hate going against the younger fighter trend that's hitting at like 63% right now. But I think this is the spot where I think this is the spot and a good spot to take 37%. I kind of wish the line was a little bit bigger on Burns, but plus 150 on Burns, I'll take it. But get your live bet ready too, because Brady always looks good early. But I'd encourage you guys to watch back like the Chiesa fight, the Bilal Muhammad fight. He looked good early in that fight. Well, not against Bilal, but he looked good early against Chiesa in the third round. He's almost getting finished. It's a bad look. I think we see that all over again. I think Brady's going to be getting beat up in this fight. So give me Burns to bully Brady.
Knockout round 5?
Knockout round 5.
All right. Yeah, man, everything that you guys said makes a lot of sense to me. And Burns, dude, his losses are to the best. I mean, JDM is probably going to fight for a title at some point. Bilal Muhammad obviously is the champ. Usman is arguably the greatest welterweight of all time. I don't think he is, but arguably he is. He's only, I think, defended his title against fucking 2 people, and that was Gilbert Burns and Jorge Masvidal, if I'm not mistaken. He's beaten some good guys too, man. He's beaten, you know, he beat Jorge Masvidal, which isn't the greatest. Neil Magny, seasoned veteran. Some of his more recent ones, Stephen Thompson, all that kind of good stuff. But he's losing to these guys that he's losing to pretty competitively. He did get hurt early in that Bilal Muhammad fight. Kept fighting for, I think it was 5 rounds in that fight, if I'm not mistaken. Was it 5 or 3? You remember? No one knows.
No clue.
Yeah, the Bilal Muhammad fight. Wasn't that a 5-rounder?
That was a 5-rounder.
I would imagine it was.
We can check right now. Yeah, he was the co-man. It was a 5-round fight. And the guy didn't look like he slowed down much at all, despite having like a broken wrist or something. But Bilal Muhammad's fucking good. Like, people talk shit about Bilal Muhammad. Jared and I were both on Bilal in that title fight. And I mean, he's very good. He's a problem for a lot of people. So I say all that to say that Burns should win this fight, but I got to go with Sean Brady here. And I think that he does get that wet blanket decision win, because he's going to have his cardio improved. That Chiesa fight, you're right, Alex, it was a bad fucking look, but that was, what was that? That was, I mean, it's gotta be a year ago, at least 2 years ago. My fucking mouse isn't working.
He's done that multiple times. He's gassed out multiple times. If someone shows him adversity and can make Sean Brady wrestle a lot, I think he's going to gas. You're right. He has been improving a little bit, but I think Burns got more heart, more drive, more killer instinct.
Okay, we're going to switch over to Chrome because Safari's just not fucking letting me click that link. I wanted to see something really quick, so I'm killing time. But yeah, Sean Brady, he's got to improve his cardio. He has to. Sorry, I can't type and talk at the same time. we have the Sean Brady fight against Chiesa was in 2021. And that was the last time I saw him really gas. He looked fucked up the whole time against Bilal Muhammad. And supposedly the story goes that he woke up that morning in Abu Dhabi, where the fuck they were, and he knew he was going to lose that fight. So that's scary, because is he waking up against Gilbert Burns and knowing that he's going to lose this fight too? I don't know. Seems kind of like that's a little bit of a head case. That whole team seems like they have fucking mental problems. I mean, look at Joe Pyfer. Look at some of the other guys there.
Actually, did you know about Joe Pyfer's childhood?
Do you have time to tell me about it? I've never heard about anything about the guy's childhood.
It's pretty rough, apparently.
Really? Like the roughest anyone's ever had?
Like, if you look at like the kids in Palestine right now, doesn't even come close to what Joe Pyfer's been through.
Fuck. Well, maybe he does kind of merit some kind of, you know, credit for his very difficult childhood here in the United States, where, you know, the worst thing he had to do was probably take a beating from his dad or something, which no one else has experienced. You know, no one ever gets beat by their dad
ever, anywhere in the world ever.
Yeah. So fuck, maybe I got to change my tune on that, but I don't know, man. I just think, you know, despite Joe Pyfer's very difficult childhood and all this other shit, I think that the camp, they seem to have some mental problems. And I think Brady's going into this, he's very serious. Right now, his only loss is to the current champ. And I think that he wants to keep it that way. And I think he does wet blanket Burns for 25 minutes and gets that fucking decision. I hope Burns wins. And I'm going to have some action on him finishing. But yeah, maybe like a decision, no action on Burns would be cool. But I got to go Brady here. Brady decision. I don't like it. I really don't like Sean Brady. I don't like Joe Pyfer. I don't really like anyone from that camp, to be honest. Pat Sabatini, all these guys, I'm not a fan. But yeah, give me Brady. I think it's kind of set up for Brady to win and then potentially get another title shot, or a title shot, against the only guy that has beaten him. So yeah, Brady by decision, dissenting here a little bit from the rest of the show. But fuck. Interesting little, you know, co-main. Main is sick. And I think that the feature fight is probably going to be the fight of the night, man. That's going to be a really cool fight between Nelson and Garcia. So, fun free card. We still have 13 fights. Hopefully none fall through. Hopefully no one misses weight crazy. We know Lima's probably going to miss weight. But I'm sure that that fight still goes on. So, anything else that we want to cover before we get out of here?
Got to hit you with the bets, as always. I got them ready to go.
Of course. Let's go.
All right. I got a lot of shit to dump on you this week. So
all right.
I'll start with one championship. I'm just going to fucking.
That was my thing. Should we run through these other cards? Not like talk about them every fight, but should we go through and just kind of point out? So if you're talking
I'm just going to drop a handful of names from one championship. Fucking, you know, when I make these picks for one championship, I make them well before the odds come out. So I'm just going to say Adrian Lee is 100%. Johan Ghazali, another one. Like, those two guys, I am like 100% certain they win.
Who?
Johan Ghazali and Adrian Lee right above him.
Okay.
So those two right there, I'm sure, you know, the odds are complete dog shit, but those two are sure things. I would add them to whatever you'd like for any other sport. I think John Lineker, I mean, I like him here. It's a little chalky. He is a big underdog, but I think this is a good fight for him. I think he's more of an underdog, just it's towards the top. I think he's more of a dog just because it's a Muay Thai fight. But I definitely think Lineker can get this done. Liam Harrison against Sexton, that is a great fight. The more and more I think about it, the more and more I kind of got to realize that Harrison is kind of one-dimensional. If he doesn't knock you out, he's not going to win. Against a guy like Sexton, I don't believe he's going to get knocked out. So I feel good about Sexton there, even though it's a chalky fight. And then, of course, Superlek against Jonathan Haggerty. It's a great fight to not bet and just enjoy a fucking crazy Muay Thai fight, because these guys are going to fucking bang. It's going to be a great, great fight. But I am going to be taking Superlek there, the kicking machine. I really, really am a big fan of Jonathan Haggerty, but just his last fight, I had big money on him and he ended up getting the win. But, you know, in that win, he did get sat down on the ropes. I thought he was about to quit for a second. It's a very, very tough fight. Maybe don't bet the main event. Just enjoy it. It's going to be an unbelievable fight, but I'm going to go with Superlek there. So the names, one more time to rattle them off. Superlek, Sexton, Lineker, Lee, and Ghazali.
Okay, got them all. And your 200% confident picks are Lee and Ghazali.
Like, obnoxiously confident, but those odds are, I guarantee, to a point you fucking can't even touch, you know. But, if you get offered props, I would say Ghazali by knockout, Lee by submission. If you get the props for it, those might make it a lot more bettable. Yeah. But so that's for one championship. Now I'm going to go over to Bellator.
Where the fuck is Bellator here? Hold on 1 second. All right. Bellator.
There it is.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I'm just I wanted to find a pick on Sumiko Inaba, but she's just kind of untrustworthy, even though the girl she's fighting is a fucking, you know, has only had 3 fights and she's a jiu-jitsu nerd. It's, I don't know, something about Sumiko Inaba. Every time I bet on this girl, I sweat. I don't know if you want to sweat. And yeah, Ryan, I heard your ooh. She's fucking hot.
Yeah, she looks fucking hot. Little Hawaiian?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. You know, I'm a fan of her. I'm a fan of the way she looks. But I swear to God, I've been very good luck betting on her. But every time I bet on this girl, I am fucking sweating. So maybe leave her out of it.
Yeah.
Something I really like on this card, though, I do like Douglas Lima at +120. I think it's a good matchup for him. He's fighting the Canadian, who Ryan loves so much, but this is a fucking tough Canadian. You know, I think this dude will be there every step of the way. I like Douglas Lima here. I think he just works the kicks. He'll start to take over the longer the fight goes. And then Usman Nurmagomedov, of course. But I mean, if you want to ride Usman, fucking do it. Dude's like -400, but I'm definitely going to have a straight bet on Douglas Lima. If you wanted to throw, if you like Inaba and you're, you know, kind of simping, you can go Inaba, Lima, and Usman. That's +350. But I'm going to have a straight bet on Lima.
Cool. Yeah. Who's this girl that Inaba's fighting? Is she, I mean, she's 3-0.
She's a jiu-jitsu nerd.
Okay. How's like, the submission?
I want to say two of her 3 wins are Americanas. Well, that's the thing, right? Fucking, she's never been sub, but we have seen her struggle against grapplers, even in her wins. Like, if you got a girl that's pushing a wrestling pace, she struggles. So, a little tough to get behind Inaba there.
Okay.
But Douglas Lima, I do like him a lot in this matchup.
All right.
And now we can get to the UFC.
Okay.
All right. As always, whale bet first. It's a 3-team whale bet. We got Petrosky, Santos, and Silva at +150. That's a whale this week. We got a 3-teamer steamer this week, and it's a fucking juicy one. 3 underdogs. Vanessa Demopoulos, Kyle Nelson, Gilbert Burns. That is +2122. And just to note for straight bets, I will have a straight bet on Vanessa Demopoulos. And I will have a straight bet on Kyle Nelson. And then for Bellator, I'll have a straight bet on Douglas Lima.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, I might tail your fucking 3-teamer there, even though I might have one with him and one with fucking
one the with steamer Burns. Or the whale?
The way the 3-teamer, but I might have one with Burns and then a different version with Brady as well. So I like that though. Alex, you got any long shot calls or anything fun like that?
Well, first off, I second everything that Jared said for Bellator in one. I'm very passionate on John Lineker at +300. I think that's pure value. I think it should be close to even. Lineker has a small +120, +150 dog.
Yeah.
I think that lines up back. It's already coming down if you can get it. I know, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel usually drop it the day of, 24 hours before the card. So if you can get that in early, I'd recommend doing that. I'm very confident that John Lineker is going to put this guy out. And that's going to be one of my best straight bets of the week. Definitely going to hammer that this week. What else do I like for – going to wait for weigh-ins for, like, BKFC and Bellator and a lot of other fights. Definitely recommend waiting for weigh-ins and media day to drop, which should be dropping today. But for straight bets, going with peak week, baby. Trevor Peak, money line, love it. And for a two-team parlay that's safe, I'm going with Lima and Zurong. So not too much action. We'll have more later on in the week. We're definitely going to try to agree on a ladder bet for this week so I can have some edits to do. And, yeah, we're going to start it off.
Zurong? You talking about Rong Zhu?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure. I'm writing this shit down, so. Yeah, Rong Zhu. Perfect. Yeah, as far as I go, yeah, BKFC is going to be super fun. We don't talk about that here, but... yeah, BKFC is going to be a really cool card this weekend. I recommend checking it out, making some bets. If you do just the slightest amount of research, guys, you can make good money doing that. It's very easy to bet compared to UFC. For me, I really do like, I mean, obviously I think I like Span here. The odds suck, but I like Taco as well. I like Peak. I like Durden. Hopefully he comes in as a dog. I haven't seen the odds on that yet. Do we know the odds for Durden?
It's Durden minus.
Sorry, you cut out. What's that?
Durden minus 300.
Okay, so he's not a dog. Got it. I love Nelson. And yeah, man, that's about it right now. I think if you took Petrosky by points, I think that's a good look. That's different than what these guys have. Demopoulos, I think live bet spot is the move for sure after like a half of a round in round one. But yeah, we'll see what's up. And, you know, we'll report our winnings or our losses, hopefully winnings, next week when we talk ahead of the biggest UFC card of all time, which I'm actually really excited for, man. I wanted to try to find tickets to it. Insane on the price for
did you see the huge price drop?
No.
Yeah, there. So I've seen a lot of people saying like the Sphere event might be a fucking flop, like they kind of outpriced themselves, because when you were looking before, like some of the cheapest tickets you could find was like $3,000.
Yeah,
you can get like pretty fucking decent seats for like $1,000.
Fuck,
like they dropped, like the price dropped by like more than 50%. Like it's legit insane.
Do you guys want to go?
I'll tell you what. Let's fucking, you know, we can do our ladder thing. We should come up with a fucking crazy parlay that we all agree on, which we're going to be on the phone for fucking 2 hours and get nowhere. But if we should come up with like a fat parlay that we all agree on, like, and if it hits, we fucking meet at the Sphere.
Dude, I am so fucking down. If you guys want to throw down $1,000 each for tickets, we can get some shitty fucking hotel off the strip. You guys are going to have to deal with my snoring.
What I would say is if we can make a parlay that's like, it's got to be juicy. I want to say like plus 2,000, plus 3,000. We each throw $100 on it. We all fucking agree. Meet at the Sphere.
I'm fucking down. I would love. I've never been to a UFC event, dude. And
we'll throw $1,000 towards the tickets to the Sphere, and then fucking whatever's left, we can, you know, hotel and fucking dick around and let Alex drag us to craps tables and shit.
We're not round robin.
No, we want it to pay fat. So fuck around robin.
You can still pay fat. I mean, look what if we put a hundred on that round robin. It ain't gonna
fucking as fat as the Sphere.
Yeah, even if we got a plus 2,000 round robin, that's going to – yeah, we can figure that out. We can see what's up. And even if we did $50, we can get – if you could just pay for the ticket, I know that you guys could afford to fly out there and shit like that. It's not that expensive flights right now with these fucking planes falling apart and shit. So we could figure it out. But, yeah, that's a deal. But, yeah, guys, anything else you want to plug? Obviously, if you want to listen to the show, Dangerous World Podcast is audio only. If you want to get the great visuals, look at all of our beautiful faces and our awesome backgrounds, you got to go to Profit Picks, spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Go to that YouTube channel. Alex is dropping some nice memes that get stolen by people like Phil Rowe. and other things like that. And Jared's giving out picks for free on Teat Picks. You just got to DM him. And he's about to start fighting soon. So this guy might be fucking famous very shortly. And you're going to want to get in on the ground floor. So DM this guy at Teat Picks. See what's up. And yeah, he's giving out those picks for free for the time being. So anything else you guys want to plug?
I will say we've been fighting, but next fight, looking at November 9th, Manchester, New Hampshire, Combat Zone 86. If you want, if you're local, you want to watch it, it's in Manchester, November 9th. If you're not local, CZMMA.com. You can be able to live stream it there.
Is it free to live stream or does it cost anything?
It's either, if it's not free, it's going to be no more than like fucking $20, but I'm pretty sure they do most of them for free. So we were waiting on to see if it was going to be at Encore in Boston or if it was going to be in Manchester. If it was going to be at Encore, it was going to be a Muay Thai fight. But because it's in New Hampshire, it's going to be a kickboxing fight because Muay Thai is actually illegal in New Hampshire, which is pretty gay.
Bunch of pussies.
Either way, if you guys want to see a dead body, November 9th, tune in.
Yeah. So do you know an opponent?
I'm waiting for a name right now, but Rick has told me fucking November 9th, be ready. We'll have a name within the next week or two.
And Rick Hahn is going to be your lead corner?
Yep. He'll be even cornering me.
Yeah, Rick Hahn, for those that don't know, Olympian athlete in judo. Fucking badass dude. Fights for the BKFC as well. So Jared's learning from a fucking good guy here. So yeah, keep an eye out for Jared Lennon to be making some fucking rounds and dropping people. Super excited for you, man. Is there any way to bet that event or no?
If it was at Alex, of course, Alex already asked the same thing. If it was at Encore, he would be able to bet it because it's in Manchester. I do not think there's going to be lines up. If there is, I'll let you know, though.
Yeah, let us know and we can all drop the balance on Mr. Lennon to get a fucking knockout.
Round one.
Let's go. Yeah, guys, tune in every single time there is a UFC event. We try to drop these early in the week. With Contender Series right now, it's either early in the week or a little later, but we like to get these out around Wednesday. So thank you guys for tuning in and moving forward. We're going to be here. We're going to be talking. Thank you guys for having me on. Alex, I should thank you especially for having me on. And I'm just honored to be here, man. I can't thank you enough. It's changed my life just being able to be a guest on this show. So
I'll tell you what, Ryan, I'll talk to our producers over at Profit Picks. If everything goes well, we might bring you back next week.
I hope so. It's going to be a good time. You know, I think that we have a good chemistry here, the three of us. So, you know, if I could just be a part of the show, I think, you know, I'm honored to do
so. Yeah, I mean, look, don't wipe your ass before you take a shit, but we'll figure it out. Well, our people will talk to your people and we'll see if we can have you back.
Perfect. Thank you guys for the opportunity. And we will be talking next week. Everybody, good luck on your bets. And we'll see you next week.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.